The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 38 through 44. After engaging in a series of public arguments with religious leaders in the temple, Jesus contrasts the proud and aggressive ways of those leaders with the sacrificial humility and poverty of the widow. The reading. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect by the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had. All she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ. Okay, good morning. Do you know this is the day the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. So, our thank offering service today is to thank God for all the blessings. Hey, there, good, come on. I didn't see y'all were coming. Sit right down there. Good. The blessings are good things that God gives us every day. Can you think of anything good God gives you every day? What? Say it real loud.
Every day.
Every day. What? Right now he's giving us something.
Two sisters that I love.
What?
Two
sisters, that is a good thing. Yes, sir, that is a very good thing. He gives us even air to breathe. We don't even think of that as a blessing, but that's a good thing. We couldn't live without air. So these are all good things. And it says in the Bible, God blesses us so that we can bless other people. We can help them. What's going on here today with all those quilts up there? Did you see them? Aren't they pretty? Do you have a blanket or a quilt at home to keep you warm? Kellen, do you have a blanket when you're cold? I bet we all do. Yeah, it feels good to get under. But you know, there's lots of people that don't have a blanket. They don't have any covers to keep them warm. And so that's one place we're going to send these to help somebody else that doesn't have one so they can stay warm. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, "But if anyone who has money enough to live well and sees a brother or sister in need and doesn't help them, how can God's love be in that person?" So we want to stop saying we love each other and show by our actions what we do to help. This morning, this special thank offering service, Ms. Heil said we're going to have three things that our offering is going to go to. One place is to YAM for people in Yorktown that need help, maybe with food or some other supplies, so they can go there and get help. Then the Heifer International, and she said that they can get a heifer. They can get a heifer or a goat or pig or even chickens, and then they learn how to take care of them, and then when they have another calf or some more chickens, they pass it on to somebody else, and then that's the way that keeps helping each other. It's a gift that keeps on giving. And then the third thing today's offering is going to is for Water to Thrive. Like she said, there's lots of people. When you're thirsty, what do? What?
You get a drink.
You get a drink, yeah. What do you, turn the faucet on and there's the water. Drink it down and you're not thirsty anymore. But there's lots and lots of people, they don't have a faucet. They don't have a water well by their house. They have to walk a long, long ways every day to get water and carry it back to their house. They have to walk probably further than from here up to Lowe's grocery store. That's a long way to walk to carry water, isn't it? But that's what they have to do every day. And so our offering is going to help to build, to drill a water well so they don't have to do that every day. Won't that be good? That's sharing our love. So I want you to remember, well, first we're going to have our little closing prayer, and then I have something for you to help you remember about that water to thrive. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for all the good things you give us every day. Help us to share with others. Amen. And what do you think I have in here? Everybody come and get one. What is that?
Water.
A water bottle. That'll help you remember. And thank God for the water that we have every day. Thank y'all for coming up.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. After reading the gospel lesson this morning about the widow giving her offering into the treasury, and then also thinking about the thank offering service and all that, you may be thinking, oh no, here comes one of those stewardship sermons again. One of those where the preacher's going to talk about money. And what I say to that is, well, yeah. Why is it so hard to talk about money? Why is it so hard to talk about giving? I guess part of that has to deal with the way that we view money and the way we also view our faith a little bit. But many of us have different thoughts and different ways of looking at giving. Some people think, I give what the church needs. Or what I give is my own business. So why is somebody trying to tell me how much I should give? Another thought is, my grandpa gave $1 a week. My father gave $1 a week, and so I'm going to give $1 a week. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. We have a number of different attitudes of why we give and the way that we look at money. This morning, I'd maybe like to offer a different way of looking at why we give or how we give. And you probably never thought that you'd ever hear a preacher say this, but I'm going to say it. God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our money, if you think about it. I mean, if God could create the heavens and the earth and everything in there and everything that we need without our help, God does not need our money. God's will is going to be done whether or not we participate, whether or not we help, whether or not we're a part of it. It's our choice whether or not we want to be a part of that. God's will be done. God does not need our money. And our gospel lesson this morning kind of plays that out a little bit then too. The one that Jesus lifts up is the one who gave the least in terms of dollar amount. She gave 2 coins worth a penny. Not very much, but that's the one that Jesus raises up. God doesn't need our money. But why he raises her up is because he gave all that she had. She got the idea. It came to her. She understood that God wants all of us. He wants every bit of us. And she was willing to give of everything that she had. She probably didn't have enough for supper that night, but she had trust, she had faith that God would provide for her. That God is in control and that God would provide for her. She gave it all. Which brings up the story of the one who gave it all for us. God gave his only begotten Son to come into this world to save us. And Jesus gave up everything that he had. He gave up his family. He gave up his occupation. He gave up any kind of money that he had. And he gave up his life in order to save us. So that brings us to the question, why do we give? If God doesn't need our money, why do we even give? We give because, not because the church needs the money, or not because God needs the money, not because we are compelled or are forced to give money, or it's required to give money, but we give money because we have a need to give. As Christians, we have a need to give. It's a part of who we are as we become Christians. If we say that we follow the one who gave himself up for the world, if we say that he is the one that we are to follow, then we too should give of ourselves. We too have that need. It's within our being. It's who we are as Christians, as wanting to give. And I think that's probably much of this service is about then too, with the thank offering service, that there is a need to give. We see the need in the world for people to eat, for people to have clean water, for people to be able to support themselves, and the Heifer Project helps do that so that they can be self-sufficient and also share that with other people then too. We have that need to give, to lift other people up, to proclaim that kingdom of God, to proclaim the one who gave himself for us. But it's hard sometimes. And I think it's hard because of our views and our attitudes towards money. Money is such an important part of our lives. It buys us food, it buys us home, it buys us clothing, it buys us the things that we want that we don't even need. And it becomes a part of who we are. You ask somebody, how much is he worth? And you're liable to get a dollar figure. And we use money also somewhat as a weapon, or as a way to force our power. For instance, people may say, I don't like that preacher, so I'm not going to give anymore. I'm not going to support him. I don't like what the church council is doing, so I'm not going to put anything in the offering plate. I don't like the way the church is going, so I'm not going to help in any way. And they're actually... quitting to give is not the proper way to address those issues. Of course the pastor's going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. I'm human at times. Sometimes I make the wrong decision. Councils don't always agree on which way they're going to go, and sometimes they make the wrong decisions. Sometimes the church maybe needs a little bit better leadership in the direction that it's going. And so maybe you have a good, valid point, but the way to do that is not just simply to quit giving. It is rather to address the issue. Matthew 18 addresses that then and says, go first to the neighbor who has sinned against you. Come and talk to me as a pastor if you have issues with that. Come to a church council meeting. Listen to what's going on, and also maybe voice your opinions. Talk amongst yourselves about the direction of the congregation and what needs to be done, and maybe new ministries can start. But you still have that need to give because you are a Christian. It is still ingrained within you to give. We look at money in our society as a way of identity, of who we are. We look up to people who are wealthy, who have that money. The media, the newspapers, TV, there's always stories about somebody who is rich and famous. We look up to those kind of folks because they do have lots of wealth. And so we put value on that. But that's not who we are. That's not who we are as Christians. As Christians, we are people who have that need to give. God has given everything to us, and we recognize that. Everything that we have belongs to God. And God wants our full attention. God wants all of us, everything that we have. And that's why he raises up this woman who gave just 2 copper coins. He raises her up. Because she gave everything that she had. It's interesting in this text that he doesn't condemn the rich. He doesn't condemn the wealthy. He doesn't condemn those who put in large sums of money. But the one he raises up is the one who gave everything that she had. And so we ask, how much should I give? What is the proper amount? How much should I give? Is that just between me and God, or how shall I determine that? And for that, too, we can look at scriptures. In the Old Testament, it talks about the tithe, of giving the first fruits, of giving your best, of giving what comes off the top, and then everything else is for you to use. And that tithe is considered 10%. And after 10%, then, if you feel generous, you can give more. And I think that's a goal. That's a good goal for any of us, is a 10% tithe. But then people start to say, well, that's so legalistic. That's Old Testament stuff. I don't believe in a tithe. Well, then you look at the New Testament. And what kind of stories do you find there? You find the story of the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I want to be one of your followers. And Jesus says, well, follow the commands. And the young man says, I've done all that. I've followed all the commands. Well, Jesus says, I've got one more thing for you to do. Go and sell everything that you own and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Jesus demanded everything of him. Or the story in the New Testament where husband and wife were to sell their property and give it to the church or give it to the poor, and they came back and they said, we sold everything and here's our offering. But they had kept some back and they were struck down. God wants all of us. God wants our whole selves. A tithe is a good place to start. God has given us everything that we need, and God basically says, here, have 90% of it all, and you can make all the decisions that you want. You can spend it for what you need. Spend it for the things you don't need. But for the 10%, God wants it back. Think about what would happen within our congregation, within our community, and within the world, if everyone in the congregation would actually tithe that 10%. Think of the ministry that we could do, the water wells we could dig, the people that we could help to make self-sufficient through projects like the Heifer Project. Think of the people that we could feed, the people that we could help, the people that we could educate. Think about the people, the evangelism of people being able to understand the Word of God for the first time or to hear it in a way that they are clearly able to understand. There's much that we can do, and we have that need within ourselves to give and to spread and to proclaim that kingdom of God. God calls each and every one of us his own child, and he calls us then to remember who we are, to remember that we are Christians, to remember that we are ones who follow the one who gave himself for us. Remember, we have a need to give. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.